Follow Anchor. This is Anna Garrett.
Like, oh, I made it now. Blah, 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 you know.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hopefully finding enough to hear another episode.
I don't actually know what I'm saying.
Marketing, entertainment, tech, you know, all the fun stuff.
Hello, you. This is Anna Garrett, your host, and welcome to my podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my co-host, guest, friend, everything else, Daniela Miranda. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. So, episode 4. Welcome to episode 4. This episode was something that we recorded kind of out of the blue, not planned at all, but it ended up bringing quite a discussion. Well, a discussion sounds like something smart, but it's actually not a smart conversation at all.
It's a listing of facts, a sharing of ideas. It's not really just everyone what we do and what we think on a daily basis. Not very filtered, I think.
Exactly. This is not hashtag I feel like real talk, but this is hashtag keeping it real, kind of. because we just said like random stuff that we usually say, and that I guess most definitely you say it too. We all say, and we know that we say it, but still we keep saying.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting that obviously we just listed the things that we say on a daily basis and the attitudes that we have, but then we go a little bit into the justification. So do we do this because we just don't think about it? It's just the way we speak, or is there a justification to it? Is there a reason why I make myself speak in this way and not another? Which it's then also fun to see if it's a social justification. So it was kind of imposed on you, or if you're doing it on purpose for professional reasons because you think it will bring specific results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have all of those examples, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Keep listening and let's go for it then. What are the things that you feel like you're always saying?
No.
Yeah, but that's a very general one.
Yeah. I do say it a lot. And it's very difficult for me to control myself to not say, but there is one thing that some people have pointed out that I say a lot, and I've tried to control it, and I think I can, but it's difficult, and I keep saying it because I don't hate it. I exaggerate the use of the thing is.
Oh, yeah.
And I do that, and I do it a lot in a professional setting at work, trying to explain something, and pausing and saying, the thing is, I use it in every conversation and people have pointed that out.
They're like, the thing is, Daniela, shut the up.
Yeah. They are. That has been pointed out. And I say it in Portuguese as well, which is interesting.
What I say is, I've noticed myself saying, the thing is, and I've said the thing is like twice, so it's not what the thing is, it's two. The thing is, so it doesn't really make sense, you know? It doesn't really make sense. And then on my podcast, I'm frequently saying, so, and also, I feel like,
say that as well.
Blah, blah, blah. I feel like, blah, blah, blah.
No one's pointed that out, but I say it a lot.
I feel like I don't understand. I feel like it doesn't really represent. I feel like
a lot of things, don't we?
We feel a lot of things, yeah. And then I guess, you know what I mean? You know. I don't know. I frequently say a phrase, and for some reason, I feel like it's going to add something by saying, blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
Today, actually, I was at work at a meeting, and I clearly remember saying, I don't know, at the end of a sentence, and thinking to myself, and I think I even paused mid-argument because I was just so focused with myself on thinking, that's not going to take you anywhere professionally.
Yeah, it's not.
at the end of sentences. And
It's like
as you know,
you do
I do know, I'm sure. Because
but then you say, I don't know.
the problem is, I've noticed, I work a lot with estimations. So you know how you work a lot with data and with predicting targets, numbers. I am weirdly comfortable with estimations instead of proper data. So, for example, if you tell me the target is 1,050, to me the target is 1,000. 1,050 just it just sounds bad. So, if you ask me to say like what percentage of this is that, then I'm not going to do the math. I'm going to tell you it's about 20% or something like that.
And you're comfortable with that.
And I'm very comfortable with that. And sometimes, especially in interviews, people ask you for the specific numbers because they're testing your math. And personally, it's not that I'm bad at doing that. It's that to me, I don't see why I would.
Because there's no point, because you
I
don't
grew
have
up.
to do the math anymore, so why you're
Exactly. I grew up in that narcissistic generation that is just so used to having
like,
the
I'm gonna
simple things
test you
like
by.
To me, I get the point. I think it makes sense, but my
But
natural
it's not the type of skill that you want people to have.
it can
What?
show other skills that I
It can
get.
sh
It can show
yeah, it
other
can show other skills, but it's not the skill that you're looking for. What you're looking for is someone who can find the answers. It doesn't matter whether they know them already or not, right?
as well. I get the answer. I agree. I'm sorry, I get the question. I agree with the question, but my natural instinct just tells me, why is this person asking me to do this thing that a computer can do? But that's
Yeah.
not the point. The point is that because I'm so
The
comfortable
point
with estimation,
is, the point is.
point proven, because I'm so comfortable with estimations, it's very frequent for me to end my phrases either with whatever. Or, I don't
Whatever
know.
is worse, whatever is
Whatever.
worse.
No, it's like, for example, imagine that next month we have like 20 sales or whatever, because the number isn't exactly
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
proper.
yeah. I mean, I see what you mean.
So I say or whatever a lot, and I don't know, which just drags me down professionally. Why do I do it? Why can't I stop? So I'm going to
I'm
teach myself.
sure there will be a lot of people that can relate to this.
I hope so. But also, I think it's kind of a nervous thing. If I'm very comfortable, it probably won't happen. And besides that, if I do say whatever and I don't know and I realize that I said it, I will get more nervous in that situation and less control of the situation, and it just goes down and down. It's a spiral, really.
Yeah. I think the reason why I say I don't know, it's because maybe I'm not like 100% confident, or I want to sound less sure of what I'm saying. How
That's
I'm
funny.
trying like to be empathetic towards others, like I'm saying my arguments, but then I say in the end, I don't know, like maybe this is not what everybody else's thinks, this is just my opinion, or you're entitled to having a different opinion. I don't know. You know what
Yeah,
I mean? Yeah.
exactly.
Like I
Exactly.
don't want to seem too sure about this because this
Yeah.
is just my opinion. So it's like blah blah blah, I don't know.
I'm gonna make this a little controversial, but
Ooh.
in my very honest opinion, I do think it might have something to do with the fact that we're women. Because you know how it's proven that women just say more often things like, I'm sorry, that it's very
Yeah.
rare for men to apologize. And that's all right. It's just a fact. And I think looking at our profiles, we're young. I think we're inexperienced, and we're not people who other people would show a lot of respect to in plenty of social situations because we're young. But the reason, but we're not, neither me or you, we're not uncomfortable in social situations. We're not people who are afraid of public speaking or who can't really like develop an argument when speaking in like a meeting at work or something. So why would we be so defensive in saying, this is my opinion, but you might have another opinion? I don't
Yeah, like
know.
making sure. Yeah, like making sure of that. Yeah.
This is not supposed to like, I'm not trying to start a feminist argument or anything, but do you have any men in your team who would do this?
No. I mean,
Because some
I haven't heard it. No.
men obviously do it, but usually those are the same who are not comfortable with speaking in public.
Yeah. Not like a confident guy would say that. I don't know.
Yeah. So, considering that we would call ourselves confident in this specific setting, why would we end a sentence with, I don't know, or with whatever? Why would we be so defensive? And I think it's only because we're girls. And that's really sad.
Yeah. And we
Yeah.
don't even try, we just do it. And we try to be feminist, we try to be as confident as possible and not be apologetic, right? I even say one of my goals in life is to inspire everyone to be unapologetic about themselves, blah blah blah, but then I end up being apologetic, right?
How often do you apologize in emails? I'm sorry about the delay. I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry I didn't inform
I actually don't. I'm not the kind of person who would say like, I'm sorry this, I'm sorry that. Or for example, there are people who always say like, thank you in emails. Like you didn't even do anything and you just say thank you, thank you,
I
thank
always say thank you and sorry in emails.
you. I don't. That's not me. Thank God. Because
I
that
do.
annoys me when people just say
I
something
like the thank you
and it's
though.
But sometimes I feel like that's just your job. Why are you saying thank you for? For example, there was one thing that really annoyed me in my German friend. She was really annoyed as well when we were in Southampton, which was when we would get on the bus and then you would wait for your stop and you would like press the button so it would stop, right? And then as people would leave the bus, they would say thank you. And I'm like, what are you
To
thanking
whom?
them for doing
The
their job,
bus driver?
for just being normal? No, the people that would leave the bus, they would say thank you
To who?
to the bus driver. I thought it
Yeah.
was so weird. I was like, what are you thanking him for? He is doing his job. He's just, I don't know, I just thought it was weird. But then if you think about it, there are a lot of
I like it.
situations where people are just doing their jobs generally. Like they have to, but you say thank you anyway, but it doesn't sound as weird to me. I don't know. Like I said, again, I don't know. But I think it's probably because in Portugal, people don't say thank you when they leave the bus, right?
I would be
So
that
that's,
person that says thank
you
you.
do? You say thank you?
I don't, but I would in that specific like social context in which people do it, I would do it as well. I thank people for absolutely everything. Yeah, and that happens on a professional setting, but that one I think might also be a bit influenced, but not as much. If I take a look at my inbox right now and like at my sent emails, I'm gonna guess that sorry is in about 70%.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what do you say sorry for? What do you say sorry? Like, sorry to bother you? Like, I hate that. Where is it sorry to bother you? You have to bother. That's the
I'm
thing.
not sure. I'm not
Like,
sure
sorry
if
to bother you, but,
sorry
I'm
to
just trying
bother.
to do my job.
No, I don't say that. But sorry to bother. Sorry for the delay. I don't know if I do it in a defensive way or
If you
worse.
actually mean it.
No, or
No?
worse, if I do it so that people will underestimate me. If I do that, it's not consciously, but I just find it a lot more likely now that I'm looking back that I do it just so people won't underestimate me, and at the same time so that people can never complain, because I hate complaining. Like whining, I hate it. I think
Because you
I
already
probably
said sorry, like you're safe. from everything,
Yeah.
and they can go to the actual topic because you've already said you're sorry, right? So they have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, and I think people, I kind of want people to not be able to, it's like, how do I say this? I want someone, and I know I'm playing the dumb card just as I was blaming Hillary Clinton for doing earlier. But I want someone to open an email from me and underestimate me and think, be kind of like happy and fulfilled that I'm apologizing for everything. Like,
That's more about like them making them feel good about
feel better.
themselves, right?
Exactly. It might have something to do with what I do as a job. So just for context, as you know, I work kind of in like marketing partnerships and everything like that for students. And working for students means speaking a lot to students and speaking a lot to student organizations and offices of universities who are usually offices of universities versus speaking to a company for a partnership just is they're never very interested because they're not there for profiting. So all of my like stakeholders, all of my partners, everyone that I communicate with are people who either aren't very interested or that I would prefer to play the dump card with so that they don't
Pay
feel like
attention.
I'm superior.
I see what you mean. Like you downgrade yourself to
I
them
do.
in a
I
kind of
do.
way.
I don't know if that's sounding very terrible, but I kind of do.
I don't think it's terrible. I just think you're adapting the way you talk, your arguments, your everything, you're adapting to the target, which is students, which is organizations. I think that makes sense. I don't think that's bad because you a good, for example, I would say that a good English speaker, good Portuguese speaker is someone who knows how to adapt their speech to the person they're talking about. So not someone who constantly speaks like very formal to a group of people who are not formal at all. That's not a good speaker, you know? I think for you to be a good speaker, you should adapt your speech. You should adapt kind of yourself to who the audience is. So I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. I
Yeah,
totally understand. Because
I think it's
I would
both.
say probably in the way I work right now, very much the same because the gaming, in terms of gaming, like gaming reporters and everything. As you can imagine, they work very differently and they talk very differently than, for example, like very traditional PR, right? So I guess myself, I probably adapt my speech to them to make it feel like I'm cooler, like I'm part of their group, like I'm not this higher organization, Microsoft, blah, 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 like trying
Yeah,
to be
exactly.
like too professional. No, I
You
want to
try
be
to
the
be like
buddy.
approachable.
I want to be approachable. I want to be like on their side, you know? So
You're Hillary Clinton. Playing the dump card.
I'm Hillary Clinton.
So I have a question for you. How do you sign off your emails?
Kind of formal. They're usually the same for everyone, and it's kindest regards.
Oh, kindest.
Because this is what I used in the UK. In uni all the time,
But is it
because
like
that's how teachers did it, like university professors did it, kindest regards. So I usually just leave kindest regards, and when it's Portuguese, I use cumprimentos, so very formal. And if I'm and I use this like even if I'm talking like colleagues that I know all the time, this is like default, I always use it. And then if I feel like being extra cute, I will add like beijinhos. But then it also has
Really?
compliments in the end.
You would sign off an email like that?
I have.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, you would be fired in Germany. 'Cause
Yeah,
You'd be
I mean,
done.
but in Portugal, people do that sometimes. I've received
Do
like
they?
emails from like superiors of mine, people who are
Oh.
higher up in the organization, and they would say beijinhos. Like
I
at
am in
Microsoft,
shock.
I mean, Microsoft is a very like open company, as you know.
That's too
We don't
open.
want to be, although it's very corporate, it's still not as corporate,
You want
maybe.
to translate it for your audience?
So, what do you mean?
Beijinhos.
Oh, beijinhos means kisses.
Yeah.
XOXO almost.
You
But
do realize here in Germany that people don't even ki kiss each other on the cheeks.
yeah, I see what you
That
mean. But what I was,
would
what was I
be
saying? I was
a
going
stretch.
somewhere with this. Oh, what I was going to say is that in fact, I have exchanged emails at Microsoft where we use emojis.
Yeah, me too.
And I have used emojis with people outside of the organization as well. So like a
Yeah,
smile, a little
me too.
smile. So
Yeah.
why are emojis fine and saying beijinhos isn't?
Emojis are just another way of speaking. I don't, obviously, they're not formal, but I don't consider them informal either. You know,
And they're not
it
as
stands on a
cultural,
middle
maybe,
ground.
right? Not as
Yeah. Well,
cultural.
obviously, I work in a startup. I was working in another startup before. So for me, like, I don't know if it's a startup thing or it's just a coincidence, but every startup I know uses a lot of GIFs on emails.
Really?
So
Oh, yeah, we don't use that. We don't use that.
emojis is nothing. If you don't end your email, if it's an announcement email, it must have a GIF.
I think it's a startup thing.
Yeah.
Because
Like,
like a
these are
lot of
places where.
articles, if you like see Medium, for example, there are a lot of like Medium articles written by people from startups and they use emojis. They use GIFs,
GIFs.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Emojis would be nothing. But I was saying, I asked you about the email signature because of the thank you, saying thank you in emails situation. Because all of my
Is it
emails,
your default? Thank you.
no,
Okay.
my default, if it's formal especially, is best regards.
Okay.
If it's slightly more informal, or simply if it's not the first email on a thread, if it's quite a long thread and I'm just writing short emails, I just put best and then my name. So best regards, then best. And sometimes, especially if I'm asking for something, I forget the best and the best regards, and I put many thanks. So yes, I thank people a lot in emails as well. So my emails are mostly thank you, and I'm so sorry for bothering.
You know,
For
when
your
they
time,
say
though.
in Portuguese, agradeço desde já a atenção, which in English would be thank you already for your attention
No.
or something.
I would say thank you in advance because
Thank
I
you
do
in
use it.
advance. Yeah, thank you in advance.
I do
I
use
use
it.
that just because I know it's something that people like when
Yeah.
they open an email. But I really hate it, and I think it has nothing. Welcome to the part of the show where you hear a super annoying game, and you should be one of the best listeners because you're listening to this after probably like 30 minutes of us saying whatever. So thank you for still listening, and let's get to the show. And today, I'm bringing back a game that was on the first episode, which is called Guess the Tweet. Yeah, for this game, for those of you who didn't listen, basically, one of us says a random tweet by a celebrity or just someone, I don't know, what is considered a celebrity nowadays? Even entrepreneurs and millionaires are considered celebrities, so whatever, just people that are famous. And that me and Daniela know, and I guess you know because you should be within the demographic, it's just a random tweet, and then the other person has to figure out who is this tweet from, and each of us will have three options, and you'll have to guess who it is, and I'll guess you'll be guessing as well. So, Daniela, you want to start with your tweet?
Okay. So the first tweet I selected is the following. It's a very modern days one.
Wow.
It's the following. I had a dream last night that my shoe came untied, so Drake retied it, looked at me and said, God's plan, with a wink.
Who wait, I didn't get the second part.
I had a dream last night that my shoe came untied.
Yeah.
So Drake retied it. Looked
oh,
at me.
Drake retied it. Okay.
Yeah.
And it said God's plan.
Said God's plan with a wink.
Oh my God, that's a good one.
Okay, and the options are Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, or Taylor Swift.
Well, you have four options. It's three options.
It's three? Whatever, let's do four for
okay,
this one.
Okay, but can you say them all again?
Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift.
Okay, Taylor Swift, I don't think it is, because this should be a very recent tweet and Taylor Swift hasn't been active lately. Miley Cyrus, she was one of the people that I checked tweets. Because you said you really liked Miley Cyrus, and I did not know that. So we're learning things about each other, and you're learning with us, listener. But I don't think I saw that tweet, so I'm going to rule out Miley Cyrus as well. So it's between Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato. And I do believe that Demi Lovato, although I haven't seen their tweets, not even sure if they have a Twitter account, but I'm guessing they do. I'm going to assume that Demi Lovato, I'm not going to assume, I just know that Demi Lovato is a lot more playful online. But yeah, I'm going to guess that this tweet is by Demi Lovato. That's my final answer.
It is correct.
You enjoyed my logic.
No, I didn't actually. You spoiled it because you were just looking at every Twitter account, and that's the only reason that you didn't consider Miley Cyrus, which I think was a pretty likely answer here.
But I did not check Selena Gomez, or I did not.
Yeah, but Selena and Taylor, I think, were the least likely either way. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so is it my turn now?
Yeah.
My tweet is, happy birthday, The Weeknd. Nothing's better than a weekend birthday.
I know who that is.
No!
Sorry, I saw that. Yeah, it's Ellen.
Okay. Then, yeah, it's Ellen DeGeneres. I'm going to tell you what the options were.
Okay.
So the options were Drake. So here's Drake again. Inception. Or is it God's plan? And then Camila Cabello and Ellen DeGeneres. Those were my options.
I think I would have chosen Ellen either way. It's a like dry Ellen humor, like very plain. Although I have no idea what Camila tweets. So my next tweet is the following. I eat the top layer of my popcorn using only my tongue. Hashtag why I'm single. And the options are Tina Fey, Jimmy Fallon, or Anna Kendrick.
Okay. Well, Anna Kendrick does post a lot, and it does sound like something she would post. But since we did Anna Kendrick a lot, it was just one episode, but I'm guessing you're not going to go with... Huh?
Did we use any of her tweets? I think we just used her as an option.
Maybe. Not sure. Don't know. But then you said Jimmy Fallon, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon, yes. Tina Fey, and Anna Kendrick.
Okay, so Jimmy Fallon, I'm pretty sure he's married or something, so I don't think he would say that. And then Tina Fey, I don't know.
I could have chosen just married people. Like, it doesn't really matter if you use this hashtag if you're married or not.
Yeah, but still.
I don't know if either of them are married.
Okay, I'm gonna... I was gonna say Tina Fey, but then you said, did we use Anna Kendrick before? So now I'm kind of thinking that maybe it's Anna Kendrick. So I'm going to say Anna Kendrick.
That's a good logic, but it's actually Jimmy Fallon.
What?
Yeah.
He said that.
He said that.
But is it something that he retweeted or he actually wrote it?
No, he wrote it, yeah.
Wow. Why I'm single. Maybe he is single. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he is. You remember like the whole drama with Nicole Kidman when she came to his show?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that was such a good one. Then let's do my tweet.
Yeah.
Okay, I have all my efforts on this one now because the other one sucked. I'm pretty sure you didn't see this one. Like 100% sure. But we'll see what you answer. Okay, so the tweet is, pray before, because this is, without love, both life and faith are worthless. Worthless. I had a problem with my tongue.
I didn't get the tweet.
You like, didn't get the tweet?
Where did the tweet start?
Okay, the tweet starts now. Without love, both life and faith are worthless.
Without love, worthless. Faith are worthless. Why did you say something first?
No.
Before you said pray for whatever.
Because this is very, like, I don't know, God's plan again.
Can you repeat it?
Without love, both life and faith are worthless.
Okay, and what are the options?
Okay, the options are Justin Bieber, Pope Francis, and Tom Cruise. Do you want me to say those again?
No. It's Tom Cruise on Twitter.
I shouldn't answer that.
I'm gonna go with a no. And
so you can go with whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm gonna go
because
with Justin Bieber.
Without
I
love,
think it's equally likely.
Both life and faith are worthless. So you can go with whatever you want.
I hate that tweet.
Like I would never tweet this.
So I'm gonna go with Justin Bieber because I think you wouldn't just insult the Pope like that. I think you would expect it from the Pope. You'd be like such an expected tweet from the Pope.
So your answer is Justin Bieber.
Yeah, because I like the Pope better.
Well, then you guess have thought me wrong and I should go to hell because this is a Pope Francis tweet.
How is that a weird tweet then?
No, it's a fine tweet to be adapted to him that comes from him. But I'm just saying generally, like in all the generation of tweets that have been made, it's not a memorable tweet at all.
Why do we let him tweet? Why does anyone let the Pope tweet?
Like, seriously, he tweets like a lot. I didn't actually see how many people like retweet his stuff. But let me go there. We're gonna go there.
We're gonna go there. Everyone loves the Pope.
I do. I like the Pope. I like this Pope. But I just thought it was funny for this game. Because, you know, Tom Cruise, he's like all weird religious guy. And then Justin Bieber.
I don't think that's kind of religious.
True. But still. And then Justin Bieber, in his last like era for Believe, he was like all like, yo, you gotta believe in what you put out in this world, blah, blah, blah.
He was like the last like Justin Bieber album?
I think so. Isn't
it?
You go check that while I check the Pop tweets.
It was Purpose. Believe is from 2012.
Oh, right. That's what I mean. Yeah. The Purpose era. It's still the same. Like, he has, like, religious, like, stuff that he says in between songs and in the music videos. He's all like, oh my god, like, I come back and I'm not doing anything bad anymore because my fans are my life and you gotta believe in God. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that he would say in that era. So it seemed like a suitable tweet for Justin Bieber. purpose, Justin Bieber. Okay, so he tweets every day, the Pope. And now let's get a marketing perspective out of this, which it's probably not the best thing to do. We're probably going to get a lot of hate from this, but does he write his own tweets? You think he does?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he does either, because he would be like very consistent guy on social media to write a tweet every single day. Can you imagine like going over to the Pope? Okay, this is funny in my head. Like, there's a marketing agency, communications agency. They're like, we're going to have a...
I don't think there's an agency. I think they probably do it. And excuse the...
I know.
But they probably do it in-house.
I know. But I'm just imagining this scenario. We're like, I'm going to have a Skype meeting or brainstorm meeting with Pope Francis to set up, you know, to set up the planning for the tweets for 2018, and then they just write a bunch of tweets on a whiteboard, and they're like, I don't like that. Yeah, I like that. Oh no, that sounds too similar to day three. And then they come up with a list, and that's how it happens. That's how it happens for the Pope tweets. Don't you find that hilarious?
Is it no, just because me? It's not likely.
But imagine if it was.
I can't imagine. It's not likely. I wish it happened like that, but it doesn't.
So how do you seriously think it happens? Now I'm curious.
I think it's absolutely random. I think he has like a management team that do a bunch of different stuff, and they all kind of contribute to it, and they just do it fast and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Guys, if you're listening...
Like most companies.
Like most companies,
everyone contributes a bit to social media, and no one really knows what they're doing.
That's usually what I say. You always think there's like this massive communications agency behind it, and everything is super thought of in like crazy brainstorm session at 2 a.m, and then people come up with the ideas. It's a lie. People they're just like, oh my god, we need to come up with a call to action for this campaign. What are we going to do? We just said blah blah last campaign, so we can't do that. Oh, but that sounds too generalistic. Oh, but that sounds like the competition. And then people just, okay, let's just do this. And they're like, I don't think it's great, but it's fine. Let's go with it. And that's how campaigns happen very, very often. Do you copy this, Daniela?
Yeah, absolutely. Either that or something that I've seen like in the past a lot as well, is just the social media team or the social media person to be completely away from everyone else and getting absolutely no input in and no output out. So like no one really knows why anything's happening with social media, and because it's just one or two people on it, they don't really have to respond to a lot
of anyone. Yeah, and no one cares.
So social media tends to be the opposite of what you would like an integrated marketing communications campaign to look like, because it's completely away from everything else happening with product development.
Yeah, and very like one-sided.
Yeah, completely. And like one thing I've seen many social media teams struggle with is just something happening in the company or this big thing happening and being all over media, and they didn't even know about it. So they just retweeted share stuff.
Because the social media person is me, and I'm on the couch in my pajamas writing the post, you know? I'm guessing that's the average social media person.
Yeah. Does it ever happen to you that you see something about your company on like being published somewhere and you're like,
Oh, yeah.
Be talking about this.
It has happened. There was this reveal about some kind of like scandal, or I don't know if it was a scandal or like a product reveal that we worked on in the past that was never said or something. And what I said was I was comparing how I felt about finding out about those news as a celebrity that finds like news about them through reading like the tabloids. That's how I felt, you know? Oh my God, that's what I did? I did not know that. And I
Yeah.
guess that's how celebs feel when they read like those stupid news articles, covers on magazines. So I thought that
Yeah,
was
absolutely.
funny. But yeah, it has happened. I mean, especially with a company like Microsoft, it's so big and so global. And because I'm working in the Xbox, it's a very like tight community.
Yeah.
So I would say that a lot of things happen within the Xbox ecosystem that probably a lot of Microsoft people do not know about, and a lot of things happen outside of the Xbox ecosystem and within Microsoft that Xbox people do not know about. Just like a very like it makes sense because it's just very different kind of industry and culture and everything. But yeah. So all of this because of the Pope. Ah, and what I was gonna say, I was almost gonna forget this, is if you're listening right now, send us your Pope theories. How do you think the Pope works social media? Who writes the tweets? Give us your best theory, your best conspiracy. That would be epic.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have any tweets left? Is it yours now or are we done?
We're done.
We're done. Ah, this is always so fun. I could go on and on, except I can't find tweets as fast as Daniela has. Yeah, and I have to admit, probably your tweets were better than mine. I just didn't
Actually,
want
I don't get like how you took so long. Like, who did he check that you couldn't find any tweets?
I don't know. I just didn't want to go to the same people that I did last time, which was like Chris Evans, Ryan Reynolds, Anna Kendrick, you know,
But who did he go for?
all like the obvious ones. I didn't want to check because I just thought they were like I was it would end up with like a very funny tweet that would be funny, but it would be just the same people all over again. So I tried to go differently.
But
I
who?
did
Who did he check?
I checked Kylie Jenner, and surprisingly, I did not know how to write her name.
What?
I wrote it
Kylie
so many
Minogue.
ways and still couldn't write her name properly. But I went there. What else?
You should know that the Kardashians don't have any funny tweets.
Because they have no personality, right?
They're very politically correct, I think, because they have to be because of the pressure they have on them.
I checked her sister, but I was already expecting that it would be like even worse because Kendall has it's like a blank canvas for brands, so she wouldn't say anything. What else? I checked Chris Hemsworth. I checked Robert Downey Jr. I was doing like Marvel stuff. Reese Witherspoon. I did go
Okay.
to Miley Cyrus. I did go to what else? I don't
You
know.
checked people that you had no idea like what their tweets looked like, basically.
Yes, exactly.
While I
So
went for
I
people that I know have funny tweets.
you that you know have funny tweets
Yeah.
already. Yeah. And I just thought, like, what would these random people say? And I was checking if they said something funny. But the curious thing I realized is most of these celebrity tweet accounts suck. They're so branded. Like, it's, oh, look at me. Here's my new foundation line. Here's my perfume. Here's my new movie that I'm promoting. And it's everything very, very promotional. It's not like creative at all and not from their minds and hearts.
Actually, I was talking to a friend the other day about how personally I don't follow any brands on Instagram, and I don't
Yeah,
consider
me
Instagram to
neither.
be a place for brands. I
I
think
mean,
Instagram is a
wait,
place
wait.
for individuals. What?
I take back what I said because I was thinking you were saying, like, I don't follow any brands on Twitter because I don't. I only follow people on Twitter.
I don't know
But.
if I follow any brands on Twitter, but I'm sure that I don't follow any brands on Instagram. And or maybe I follow a couple, but I can't remember any. And I don't think Instagram is the place for brands. So like my friend was asking me, what do you think should be a brand's strategy usually on Instagram, and like giving the example of our companies. And I said, well, like if I were to decide everything, I really wouldn't put my brand on Instagram, because I haven't seen anyone do it right. To me, Instagram's about the people. So it's much more important for you to be on Instagram through micro influencers or influencers even, than through your own account.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't find brand's content on Instagram to fit. So yeah, it's pretty much it. On Twitter, I think it's probably the same thing. That if you're not super individual, if you're not really yourself, then I'm not going to follow you. But some people do. I'm not sure if it converts.
I think for Instagram, I would probably disagree a little. But in terms of like Twitter, like you as a brand having a Twitter, like it's just either you have two options. Either it's super promotional and it's basically the news feed of the brand. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like most brands, they're not like, they don't have enough personality to make like a remarkable tweet. Okay, guys, this was it for today. I hope you have enjoyed yet another episode and yet another game. As you know, keep your voice heard and letting us know what topics you're enjoying, if you find them relatable or not, if you have a different opinion, and if you like the games and which games you like the best. I'm signing out here with my friend, co-host, guest Daniela, and follow me on Instagram and Twitter at AnnaRLGuerra. And Daniela, what's yours?
On Instagram as well as DanielaTPR.
Yes, and if you want to know, you know, the behind the scenes. It's not really behind the scenes anymore because we're not together. But you can find, you know, have a little look at our lives. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're both quite into sharing way too much from our lives online.
Yeah, and we blast our Instagram stories feed. Yeah. So.
Does it ever happen to you to film like Instagram stories near your house or from your window, upload it, and then think, I just told everyone where I live.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do that anymore, but I used to.
I did it, and it wasn't on purpose. The other day it was snowing in Berlin, and I just filmed from my window, but there's this specific graffiti right in front of my, like, my building that like people know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so stupid of me, and then I deleted the story, but obviously like 200 people saw it already.
Ooh, 200. How many people usually see your stories?
200.
Okay, it's about the same as me. I'm more like 170, 150, sometimes 200. Yeah,
no, it's around that as well. I think I don't look at it a lot. Yeah. I have a lot more followers now because I started a blog.
Oh yeah, we forgot. You should tell people about your blog. And as always, we're not ending the episode. We just started a new topic. But Daniela, let people know about your blog.
I think it would be interesting for us to do a whole episode on it.
Oh,
my blog.
So genuine. Pois é. Which means, yes, you're right.
I think it would be interesting to do a whole episode on not my blog, but the topic of it. I'll give context. So I started a blog called 52resolutions2018.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. Self-promotion right there. And
don't give too much details, because otherwise they won't listen to the next episode. They have to make a little curious.
They will. But basically my blog is on sustainability and ethical fashion in general. I won't be covering only fashion, but I think that fashion is probably the most interesting industry to explore sustainability.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have so many opinions on it. And the project is one blog post every Sunday for 52 weeks, so for a year. That's why it's called 52 Resolutions. And basically what I do is in every blog post, I explore a new topic on how to be a little bit more sustainable in the way you shop. And I always quit buying from one brand. So I started with Zara. In the first week of this year, I decided I won't be purchasing anything from Zara for 1 year. And now every week, a new brand is on the...
And if you want to know what the brands are, go check out her blog. What's the link again, Daniela?
52 Resolutions 2018. So the 52 and 2018 are the actual numbers. .wordpress.com.
Okay. So, guys, like I said, yet again, we're going to try this again. Okay. 1, 2, 3, and bye.
Bye.